St. Ignatius of Loyola was born October 23rd, 1491, and he lived to the age of 65 years. He was beatified on July 27, 1609 by Pope Paul V. He was canonized on March 12th, 1622 by Gregory XV. Now, I just want to preface by saying some of the names probably will be mispronouncing, because Ignatius had such an incredible life. He started out in his family, born of Don Bertram, who was the Lord of Loyola, and his mother, Mary Saez de Bald. They were an illustrious family, and they had three daughters and eight sons. The youngest of the son was Ignatius. In his childhood, he was a very warm person, and he had a great passion. He was bred at the court of King Ferdinand V, and he was moved to be an accomplished officer in the army. He had a great military career and a great valor. He was known to bring together soldiers who were having quarrels, and he was excellent in making up the differences among his soldiers. Although he had no compunction for learning, he had a natural genius for poetry. And he composed a poem to St. Peter. He was injured on the battlefield, and this injury left him with a permanent limp. He endured much suffering through this injury. And the second operation he had, they had to saw off part of the bone that was protruding through his leg. While he was in recovery, he asked for some secular reading, romantic reading, and there was none available to him. So he picked up the lives of the saints and read about our Lord and Savior. It was during this time that he came to understand his call and his conversion process, and he had a great devotion to St. Peter, and he believed that the cure was due to the intercession of St. Peter. Because of the recovery and conversion, he realized what the Lord was calling to be, and he then moved to consecrate his life to the Blessed Mother. One night, laying prostrate before an image of the Blessed Mother, he consecrated himself to the service of the Redeemer and a vow of fidelity. He also had a vision of the Blessed Mother holding the infant Jesus in her arms, and the vision renewed his soul. Although some of his family members tried to dissuade him from going deeper into his religious experience and his faith, nonetheless, he stayed focused. He received communion on Annunciation Day in 1522, in the morning of feast day. On the same day, he left Montserrat, having given his horse to the monastery and hung up his sword on a pillar near the altar in testimony, renouncing his secular warfare and dedicating himself to Christ. He began to write his spiritual exercises, discernment of God's will in his life. The Dominicans had a great deal of influence over him, and they helped him on his journey, especially during his years of recuperation. He had many physical and emotional problems, and he landed himself in hospitals, and the Dominicans cared for him very, very much. He began to exhort the love of virtue, and he wrote his spiritual exercises, which afterwards revived and published in Rome in 1548. Though Ignatius could barely read and write, as I said earlier, he does not have any compunction to education. This book of spiritual exercises is full of instructions and the highest points of the spiritual life. Ignatius then departed and traveled, and his goal was to go to the Holy Land. He started these long travels on foot to Rome, Padua, and Venice. Spent Easter in Rome, in 1523 and eventually ended up in Joppa and the Holy Land, which this filled him with great joy, finally going to Jerusalem. He then returned to Europe, came to Venice in 1524, and continued his journey to Barcelona, where he began to study. He studied grammar and languages, and all, as I said, not a student. He then found himself in the University of Paris. He met some companions on the journey, Peter Faber, St. Francis Xavier, James Lanez, and I said I please apologize for my pronunciation, Alfonso Salmeron, Nicholas Alfonso, Simon Rodriguez. This band of fellows dedicate themselves to God, and it was from here that the Society of Jesus was being formed. Peter Faber was ordained to the priesthood, and then the others followed by going to Rome and asking for holy orders from the Holy Father, the Pope. The Holy Father, Paul III, received them graciously and said that they could be ordained to the priesthood by any bishop that they had pleased. Now the society is being formed, the Society of Jesus. They were united and their apostolate began to spread, mostly among teaching the ignorant, the young. They took the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience and made a third perpetual vow and then a fourth vow, which still holds today, that everything was to the subject of the Pope and they were to do all that the Pope had asked them to do for the good of souls. They reached out as far as they could on the earth, even St. Francis Xavier, the apostle of the Indians, brought the message of Jesus Christ to those in India, especially Goa. They proclaimed the good news of Jesus, and then Ignatius began writing the constitutions for this community, for this society. He founded houses for converted Judaism, Jews for converts, and then a house for women who were not that virtuous, and he tried to bring people out of their sinfulness and to Christ. He helped and relieved poor orphans, and he taught a great deal to help the people understand who Jesus Christ was, all for the honor and sanctification of souls. He sent St. Francis Xavier, as I said earlier, into the West Indies, where he gained a new world to the faith of Christ. He sent John Nuñez and Luis Gonzalez into the kingdom of Morocco to instruct the Christian slaves in 1547. Four others he sent to the Congo and Africa. Then he sent 13 into Abyssinia, sorry for not pronouncing that correctly, and lastly to Portugal and settlements in South America. So the society was growing greatly. But the emphasis on the society was for the spiritual life, the spiritual exercises, to bring people closer to God through meditation and the positive way in which to pray, spend time in prayer and discernment, self-examination, pious readings, retreat, daily meditation, a constant exercise on the divine presence, as we know as Ignatian spirituality. Speaking of the society, there was a desire at one point to include women into the Jesuits, but Ignatius would have none of it. He didn't believe that his community was for women and had the housing under the vows and the rule. So even to this day, we do not have Jesuits who who are part of the female aspect, you know, the women in the Jesuit community. He was given a great deal of responsibility, especially in the education, by the Holy Father, Pope Julius III, and Paul IV, and in 1555, with great influence, under the name of Gregory XIII, he established Gregorian University in Rome, which is still there today, to educate people in the ways of the faith and in many other disciplines. The Roman College, daily lessons in Italian language, theology, and so forth. So, the Society of Jesus grew, and they were dedicated to our Holy Father, to the Pope, the successor of St. Peter, whom Ignatius had a great devotion to St. Peter, and to make sure that the order was taken care of, and first and foremost, in its prayer life, and having people to grow in holiness, helping people to grow in holiness, he made sure that there was a succession in the order before he died. He was in charge of the community for 15 years, 3 months, and 9 days. But when he was worn out, he asked for an assistant, and this was F. Jerome Nadel. After which, St. Ignatius did not stop working. He took care of the sick and spent time in constant prayer and preparing himself for death. He died on the last day of July, July 31st, now his feast day, in the year 1556. He was 65 years old, 35 years after his conversion, and 16 years after the confirmation of the Society of Jesus. The people esteemed him as a saint both living and after his death, and the opinion of his sanctity was confirmed by many miracles. In fact, he had an ecstasy, a vision of God the Father while living. He saw his society in a very few years divided into 12 provinces, with above 100 colleges spread almost over the whole world, and in 1626 they contained 36 provinces, in 800 houses, and 15,000 members of the Society of Jesus. And it continued to increase. St. Ignatius died and was buried in a little church in honor of the Blessed Virgin in Rome. And then, under the auspices of Cardinal Alexander Farnesius, they built a church called the Church of the Gesù in Rome, where now the body of St. Ignatius lay. One of the most beautiful churches in Rome, next to St. Peter's Basilica. And it is the mother house, as it were, the mother church of the Society of Jesus. As we listen, and as I learned so many things in preparing this talk about this magnificent saint in our church, we know that he's the patron saint of dioceses around the country. He's the patron saint of military ordinariate of the Philippines. He's the patron saint of soldiers, educators, and education. So we thank the Lord for sending us Ignacio, the little one, Lopez de Loyola, Ignatius of Loyola, to help us to grow in holiness, to help us to see God.
Thank you, Monsignor. No, I attended a Jesuit high school, but I never heard the story of St. Ignatius as you presented it today. Very much enjoyed it. Thank you.
My bibliography is from the Butler's Lives of the Saints, Reverend Alban Butler from 1711 to 1773. So I have that, the Butler's Lives of the Saints, and I have, I think it's just magnificent. It's just, he's such a magnificent saint for our times.
Exactly.
Such great work.
And very inspirational. Thank you, Monsignor.
Well,
have a wonderful day.
Thank you, God bless you. Thank you. God bless you all.